Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Online here on Rainbow. So it feels good to be with you as always. I got to tell you, we had a beautiful, beautiful day here in New York. I think it got up to about 80 degrees. It came out of nowhere, but I got to tell you, it feels good to have that warm weather, that warm sun on us as always, you know, during the summer months and spring months. As always, we want to remind you to, and encourage you, I guess that's what we want to really say, encourage you to follow us on Twitter and to like us on Facebook. And last week we released the new Rainbow Soul app. So now we've made it even easier for you with the touch of a button to log into and lock into Rainbow Soul. Got a great show for you tonight. We have someone who has been in the entertainment business for a minute. She's been around on Broadway and movies and television. She's currently starring in the play called Regrets, which is at the Manhattan Theater Club over there in Broadway here in New York. Adrienne Lennox, welcome to the program.
Hello there, Neil Blake.
What's going on, Adrienne? How you feel?
I'm good, dude. You got your radio voice working. I'm not mad at you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to hang in there, just trying to have fun, you know, and why not invite somebody who I admire, someone I've known for a long time, to come on and join me. Well, this is your day off, and I really have to say, first off, I appreciate you for, you know, giving us some of your energy here on your day off, because I know you probably don't feel like doing much of nothing on Mondays, right?
Well, quite frankly, I have been out. I mean, you were talking about how beautiful the day is. Well, I had to be out in the day. I just had to get out. And
right.
So I did there's a choir that I sing with. I think you've heard me talk about Broadway Inspirational Voices. They're having an online auction to raise money because we're a not-for-profit organization now. And so we do outreach programs and whatnot. And so they asked if we had some items that we can donate to auction. And so I said, well, it's a nice thing, and I had to go into the city for something else. So I took my stuff over. I took a couple of opening night things that I had gotten and a couple of things, opening night card that I got from Randy Newman when I did a show out in California in 2010. And so maybe you get these things auctioned off and see if anybody will want them. And so that's what I did. And then I went to another thing that a friend of mine asked me to go to that started at 6:30. So I've been out and about on my day off.
Wow. Tell the audience a little bit more about that organization you just talked about, because it's a wonderful organization. You guys are always doing shows.
Yeah, Broadway Inspirational Voices. It's a choir made up of Broadway and off-Broadway singers. We've been around, I guess, 15, 16 years now, something like that, and we do concerts every year. And anyway, so we, in the last, I guess, 4 years, we became a not-for-profit organization, and so we do outreach programs. We go to schools and stuff, and so we try to raise money to go and get some members of the choir will go and do like workshops or something at different high schools and junior high schools and helping kids with the choir, if they have like a school choir, like a glee club or something like that, or with acting or with dancing, because we have a lot of, like I said, Broadway stars in the show who also are dancers as well, so sometimes they'll have dance workshops. We did something for Ronald McDonald's house, help some of those kids, you know, who go there to have treatment and whatnot, help them, like, write songs, you know, come up with some, talk with them about themselves and then make a song out of that. So these are the kinds of things that we do. And so we're having an online auction starting May 9th through the 24th of May. And so, like I said, I took over some items for them to see if anybody will, you know, take them and auction and get some money out of them.
Wow, I love it. You know, you've been so successful, and I love to hear, you know, how you're constantly giving back to the community. Is there a website link that folks can go and participate with this online auction?
Yeah, BroadwayInspirationals.com. Just go BroadwayInspirationalVoices.com, and you'll see what we're talking about.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. We got to get folks to go over there and support.
Yeah, we're having a concert. The concert is May 20th and 21st. I believe. Anyway, if you go to the website, you'll see when the concert is coming up.
Okay. Yeah. 2 days. Wow, that's great.
Yes,
so it's right around the corner.
We try to do it to get so that the Broadway community, who's either their night off is Sunday or their night off is Monday. So some people who are off on Monday can come and see the concert on Monday, and those people who are off on Sunday can come and see the concert on Sunday night.
Wow, wow. Mm-hmm. You guys make it ready for everybody. There's no excuses, right?
Yeah. It's really, and it's an affordable ticket and blah, 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 different, you know, ticket prices. Like I said, if you go on the website, you'll see the different ticket prices. And, it's always a very inspirational, spiritual concert every year. And people who have come and have seen the choir are always just, you know, flabbergasted with the sound that they hear and the, well, you know, these are great singers, so.
Right, and y'all are singing.
And shows like Leap of Faith, Porgy and Bess, you know, they're just in all the different shows on Broadway, and you'll see, and it's multicultural. It's not just all black people. It's, you know, white, black, Asian, whoever, you know, is able to participate in rehearsals and all that sort of thing.
Wow. How long have you been involved with the organization?
I did one of the first concerts, which was, I think, 86 or 87.
Wow.
Because the choir was originally, was 13 of us strong. 13 strong! And now the choir, we can go between 30 and 50 people in the choir.
Wow.
But we started off, it was just a small group of us. Let's do this, because musical director and founder, Michael McElroy, he's from the Baptist Church, and he Cleveland, Ohio, and his sister is a fabulous singer and piano player, his mother as well, his stepfather is the pastor of the church, and so, you know, he grew up in church, and so he knows some gospel music, okay, and so he wanted to bring that kind of thing. Because not everybody goes to church, you know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody's exposed to this kind of music, and he wanted to expose this community and also reach other people as well who support the Broadway community with this kind of music. And so that's what it's about. And we were raising money. We originally started raising money for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Okay.
And that's how that was his inspiration, is to help with that particular charity, Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS. And that's how we started doing all these concerts under their sponsorship.
Wow, wow.
And now we've kind of like branched out on our own.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to tell you, it's funny that you say that, you know, because everyone doesn't go to church, one of the things that, you know, I was working with a bunch of folks with, you know, from all ethnicities, and when they saw the Whitney Houston funeral, one of the things that kept coming up over and over and over by folks who've never been to a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church, they couldn't believe how dynamic the singing was, you know.
Ridiculous.
Right.
And Sissy Houston, I have to tell you, Mama Sissy Houston is still singing. She still has her voice. You understand me?
That's right. That's
she has every note she ever had.
Right, right.
I love
and that's one of the things
that
stuck out with folks.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah, it was incredible. And so it's wonderful that, you know, there's something like this going on that you're participating in, and hopefully some folks will, you know, come down and and be exposed and check it out. It's a great, great organization.
Google Broadway Inspirational Voices, and you'll find, you'll see all the different things we've done. We've sung with Elton John. We've sung with Rosie O'Donnell. You know what I mean? We've done things other than just the concert, you know, because people hear about us and, you know, people will come in and they say, well, we want that choir we heard about. Well, we did a thing when President Obama was running for president, and we were invited to provide some music for a big fundraiser. So, you know, they hear about us, and they're like, oh, we want those people to sing with us when we need a choir or something like that.
Right,
so
right, because you guys ain't no joke for sure. I've heard y'all sing, and y'all don't be playing.
Oh, no,
know?
It's no joke, really. It's really no joke.
Well, I got to tell you, Adrian, you know, you won your Tony. It's been how many years now since you won the Tony for that?
That was 2005.
Wow.
I know, right? Oh, wow.
Wow. It seemed like I just saw you on TV on the Tony Awards.
I know. It was 2005.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Time just, you know, it just keeps going.
It keeps going. And go ahead.
No, you just keep living and time will keep going.
That's right. Till you can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
You know? Got to keep it moving, you know?
Yeah.
You're back on Broadway. You're in a play called Regrets.
Regrets, yes. Actually, it's the Manhattan Theater Club has two spaces. They have an off-Broadway space, which is where I am. And it's a part of the City Center on West 55th Street. You know, City Center has a big space, and then they have like a downstairs space, and that's where we are, their off-Broadway downstairs space on West 55th.
Wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the audience a little bit about Regrets.
On Broadway space, which is on West 47th Street.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that space.
Yes, two different spaces, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the audience about Regrets. What's Regrets about?
Regrets, I tell you, it's such a good group of people. We are telling the story of, and a lot of listeners, I don't know if they know about this, but back in the 50s, when you couldn't get divorced as easily as people getting divorced, now they married and then 2 days later they get divorced. That couldn't happen, you know,
right,
back in
right.
the day. You had to go, if you wanted to get a relatively quick divorce, a lot of people went out to Vegas, to Nevada, to Reno, and those, you know, are you familiar with this? They would
I'm
go out there
divorce.
And they'd have to set up a residency for 6 weeks so they could say that they were a resident of the state of Nevada. And then after their 6 weeks residency is established, then they can go and get their paperwork and get their divorce. So this
right,
is what
right.
this play is about, or one of the things that it's about. And my character, Mrs. Duke, has, and they call them divorce ranches. And so I have a divorce ranch, and these men, it's in the play, there are two women and five men. And these men come and they stay in my cabins. They rent. It's $8 a week. And they rent and they get their residency set up and wait it out. And there's a young guy that comes into the scene, because most of the people are sort of like 30s, 40s, you know, older people. But then there's this young guy that comes to my cabins, and he's really young, and they're like, what are you doing here? Why? You know, you so young, why are you getting a divorce? I mean, I can't even believe you're married. You're getting a divorce already. And so there's this mystery around him. And we find out that it's more than just him getting a divorce. There's also, back in the day, you know, they had the McCarthy hearings with the, you know, everybody was a communist and, you know, he was trying to get everybody. And so we have that element as well in the show. And then you have the element, I'm a black woman, and most of these men are white. As a matter of fact, all the men in the camp are white, and so you have, like, a little racial tension issue with one of the guys who is just rather volatile, and a couple of them have been in the Army, you know, and so they are like World War II, I guess, you know, so they've come out of that, and so there's an element of post-traumatic, you know, stress syndrome, you know, going on because he's very volatile. So, I mean, it's good, and it's a drama, but you find yourself laughing a lot. We had no idea that the people were going to be laughing as much as they do. Because sometimes you find humor in situations, even if they're not necessarily supposed to be funny.
That's
you
right.
Know,
that's
you just
right.
get tickled about it because it may be something that's familiar to you, that maybe happened to you, so you laugh about it or whatever. So there's a lot of laughter as well as drama and all of that.
Now, how did you prepare for your character?
Cool.
Yeah. Now, how did you prepare for your character? How did you get motivated and set and hyped up and ready to deliver another Tony Award-winning experience?
Well, this won't qualify as Tony Award stuff because it's off-Broadway. But I met the playwright, who's a British playwright.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Yes, and this is his first American play here, and he wanted to meet me early on before even rehearsal started. We didn't start rehearsal until like February, and so I met him like in I guess it was must have been November, December or something. He was over here and he was auditioning for some of the other characters. I had already been offered the role of Mrs. Duke, so he was here auditioning for the other characters, and so he wanted to meet me so he could talk about it and just kind of flesh out Mrs. Duke. He's like, you know, give me some stuff, help me with so I can know how to fill her out, her character out. And so what I did was I sort of made up a little biography of who I thought she was, where she might be from. And, you know, back in the day, a lot of us came from the South. We came up north, you know, the Great Migration. And so I said that she was from the South, Alabama, Georgia, some place like that, and I gave him an idea of how her family sort of moved north and or west. First, she went to Chicago, and then she moved out west with her husband. And then I gave him an idea of what kind of car she might drive, what kind of music she might listen to, these kinds of things. I went online, and I looked up divorce ranches. And so I could understand, you know, what exactly was going on in these divorce ranches. And there were divorce ranches for black people in particular because, of course, back in the 50s, you know, we're stretching the imagination now because a black person probably wouldn't have white people in her camp, you know what I mean, because there was still segregation and all of that sort of thing. But there were divorce ranches that were owned by black people that catered to when black people needed to come out and get a quick divorce. You know.
Wow.
So that's how I just went online. And, you know, this whole online thing, when I first got started, all this wasn't happening. In the business, all of this wasn't happening. And you couldn't find this kind of information at the touch of your finger at your keyboard. You know, you'd have to go to the library. You'd have to go get all these books and whatnot. But, you know, you just Google something or write something in and you say, blah, blah, all this information comes up. And so that's what I did. And he was so grateful. And a lot of the stuff that I gave him, the ideas that I gave him actually ended up in the play.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So it's a collaboration, which has got to be exciting for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even during the whole rehearsal process, there was a collaboration with all the other actors as well. You know, there was because he's British, so sometimes, and not a whole lot of times, but sometimes something sounded too British. And we would say, that sounds a little British. We wouldn't say it like that. You know, these kinds of things. And so it went through a lot of changes, really, a lot of changes. By the time we actually started performing it, it had gone through many rewrites.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you guys have the play anywhere outside of New York, or it's been strictly
New
York?
No, this is the first time it's ever been done. This is the debut.
Wow.
Never been done anywhere.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And you had the opportunity to collaborate. Talk a little bit about the director and your other castmates. You're the rest of the crew.
Yes, our director is a woman named Carolyn Cantor, and I worked with her before on a play called Something You Did. That was like 2008, so that was the last time I worked with her. But she's done a lot of directing, mostly off-Broadway things, I think, that she's directed. And so when they found that my agent called Manhattan Theater Club and said, because I'd worked with Manhattan Theater Club before with the play Doubts, so they knew me over there because of Doubt. And so my agent called and said, well, you know, Adrian read this play. She thought it was nice. She's interested. And so they just made me an offer. And since Carolyn had worked with me before, she's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. She'd be great for the part. And then Matt Charman, who's the guy who wrote this piece, Regrets, happened to have seen me in Doubt, and he was like, oh, my God, yes, let's get her, let's get her. Yes, let's. Can we do it? And so that's how I got involved. And the other cast members are this one young lady, the other young lady I told you that was in the play, Alexis Bledel. Now, I didn't know her. She's very, you know, she gets stopped on the street because she's very recognizable. From the Gilmore Girls, remember that was the TV show called Gilmore Girls?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I never saw one episode ever. But anyway, a lot of people did because it ran, had seven seasons. So she's in it, and she plays a young woman that comes into the camp and offers her favors because a lot of times, you know, these people out there, they want to get out of the situation that they may be in. She's in a house with a rather volatile father, and so she's trying to get out. And so they go to these camps sometimes to see if they can, like, you know, maybe find a divorced man and then get married to him. You know, wow. Have these people say. Anyway, so that's what she does. Then there's another character, Ben Clancy, who's been at the camp the longest. And so he and I sort of, because he's been there so long, he and I sort of kind of like, he helps me sort of, you know, acclimate the new people that come in. That's his. His name is Brian Hutchison, brilliant, brilliant actor. Another guy, Lucas Caleb Rooney, who's the guy that I told you was very volatile with the, you know, PTS. He plays Gerald Driscoll. And I know Lucas because when I did Doubt, Lucas was the standby for the guy who had the role of the father, the priest, and the play Doubt, and so that's how I knew Lucas. I didn't know any of the other people, but I did know Lucas because he was a part of Doubt. And then there's another actor, Rich Topol, who plays a guy who doesn't really want to get divorced, but, you know, things weren't going well, and his wife, you know, he wants to get out, so he figured he'd come out here and maybe, you know, if he's gone a little while, she would miss him, and then they would be in contact with one another, and then maybe she would say, let's not do this after all. He really wants to still be married. So that's what his name is Alvin Novotny. And then the young guy that comes into the camp is a guy who still is in high school. His name is Ansel Elgort. He goes to LaGuardia High School. He's a senior. And he turned 18 while we started previews. He was 17 when we started rehearsal. And then once the show started performing, his birthday hit, and we had a little party for him and everything. Very talented young man. He's going to be a big, big star. His name is Ansel Elgort, and he plays the role of Caleb Farley. And he's the one that kind of changes the dynamic. His position in the show changes the dynamic. And then there's this guy, Curtis Buril, who is the fifth guy, who's the one that's looking for Caleb because he needs to settle some things. I don't want to give it away because that's like the turning point. That's like he comes in at the end of the first act and it's like cha-cha-cha-cha, and then the lights go out, the blackout, and it's like, oh, ooh. And we go to intermission, and then when we come back, we see what his character is about and how that element changes the dynamic of the piece. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, no, it sounds incredible. I'm just sorry I didn't get a chance to see it before. You know, I got a chance to interview you. Mm-hmm. The PR person wanted me to come out this weekend. I just actually couldn't get it, but I'm probably going to check it out sometime this week. Tell folks where they can get tickets, where it's at, how long it's running.
We'll be there through April 29th, and Manhattan Theater Club on West 55th Street between 6th and 7th. That is the, if you want to go, you know, directly to the box office, and now I have to get on my computer, and then I can tell you how you can go on. I guess you can go to look up MTC as well, Google that, and find how you can do things online. But let me get on my computer, and I can just pull it up for you, my darling, and call it. We also have discount tickets. As a matter of fact, I just got a thing, and yes, from Manhattan Theater Club talking about a 40% discount. You can get tickets for like, you know, $45 or something like that.
Wow, folks, can't beat that. Can't beat that.
Here it is. You can visit New York City Center, NYCITYCENTER, NewYorkCityCenter.org, and use code 9107 or call CityPix at 212-581-1212 and use code P as in Paul, B as in boy, O-02. Anyway, yes.
Absolutely. Folks, you have no excuse to get out there and check this out. Support Adrian. Support the rest of the cast. And we will plug it again before we get off the air. I just wanted you to get that in because a lot of times we're rushing off the air.
Right, and I wanted
the audience to know exactly where they can check you out. Now, you've been on Broadway now for a minute. I mean, this is no joke. How many years has it been since you've been actively performing on Broadway, Adrian?
Oh, child, I have to tell you all of that. I have done 9 Broadway shows.
Wow.
And I have, out of the 9 Broadway shows I've done, there have been maybe only 2 of those shows that I left before the run ended. Most of the shows that I've done on Broadway, I was there until the last curtain.
Wow.
So if it ran 2 years, if it ran 1 year, if it ran 3 years, if it ran what, I was there to the end.
Wow.
Sorry,
talk about your first show.
Like I said.
Talk about the first show that you were in, your first experience performing on Broadway.
My first Broadway show was Ain't Misbehavin'. After the original, the show had already won a Tony Award, and Nell Carter, remember Nell Carter? She had already won a Tony Award.
Yep.
And so they had a replacement cast come in to take over once they went out, the original cast went out to L.A., and so I was a part of that replacement cast. So that was my very first show, and then I went into Dreamgirls after that as a replacement because that show had already won a Tony Award, and Jennifer Holliday had already won, blah, blah, blah. And so I went into Dreamgirls as a replacement, and now Jennifer wasn't there when I was in the Broadway show Dreamgirls. She had already gone out to do the L.A. company. So I didn't work with her then, but years later, I worked with her when, this was back in the 90s, I guess, 95, 96, something like that, maybe, I can't remember. And we did like a little summer 5-week tour of Dreamgirls, and Jennifer starred in it. And so that's when I got a chance to work with her. And since the many shows, another show I did was Kiss Me, Kate. When Brian Stokes Mitchell, he won the Tony Award for that. Brian Stokes Mitchell won the Tony that year for that show. And it was a revival because, you know, Kiss Me, Kate is an old show. And so they revived it, and it won Best Revival that year. And Brian Stokes Mitchell won Best Actor in a Musical. Then I did, oh, child, I'd have to, like, look at my resume.
Pulled up for you, right? Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I have
done
your
a few shows. I was in Chicago. I did a couple of months in Chicago on Broadway. Played Matron Mama Morton.
Yes.
And what else? I can't even think. The Buddy Holly story, which was about that rock and roll singer Buddy Holly. I went into that show. I did.
It goes on and on.
But now I've been in a few shows.
Yeah. Now, how did you, I mean, Broadway is, you know, it might be commonplace to you because you've been in it for a minute, but it is a huge accomplishment. How did you get your foot in the door by working on, you know, these different kinds of shows on Broadway? How did you make that happen for yourself?
Let me tell you something. It was really divine intervention because I was in school. I graduated from college, and then I came to Broadway. So it was like I didn't come to New York and, like, you know, waitress and do whatever and all that. I got to New York. That's how I got to New York. A Broadway show brought me to New York. So I don't, you know, that's my story. It's not a story that a lot of people have. Certainly there are people who have that story. But, you know, a lot of times you hear stories, oh, I came and I, you know, I temped and I did this for 2 years and I had to make the rounds and to meet the blah, blah, blah and all of that. You know what I mean? Those are the most of the stories that you hear most of the time. But
right,
that's not
right.
My story.
Yeah.
So.
No, your story is incredible. Now, where did you grow up?
I'm from Tennessee. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay. Okay. Any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have two older sisters, and they're not in the business. It's just,
okay.
You know, I'm the only one that is doing this kind of work.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you know, at what point in your life did you know that you wanted to be a performer?
Well, you know, I was doing it all my life, really, like in school and in church, you know, like singing in church choir and doing the Christmas plays and the Easter plays and stuff like that, you know. So I was always doing it. Since I was a kid. And then I went to high school. I was part of the choir there. Most of the stuff that I've done on Broadway, except for Doubt, Doubt is the only play that I've done on Broadway. Everything else that I've done on Broadway has been musical.
Yeah.
And it just so happened that I won a Tony Award for something where I didn't have to sing.
Right. But, isn't that crazy how things work out? It's amazing.
Exactly. So, and I was literally... I don't know if you remember, if you saw that. Did you come and see that? It was literally one scene. I was in one scene.
Yeah. No, I saw that. I saw you in Ain't Misbehaving back in the day. I saw you in Dreamgirls.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah. You've been around for a minute. You talk about music, and I have one of your tracks here that I'd like to play. It's something that the public may not be familiar with. It's called This Ring. Talk a little bit about that.
That is a song that... my daughter's godmother was getting married, and she knew Crystal, my daughter Crystal Joy, writes songs. So she knew Crystal could write. So she says, Crystal, write a song for my wedding. And so Crystal did. She got with my husband Zane, who is a, you know, music composer and dance music arranger, blah, blah, blah. Zane, so they got together. Zane had like a track of... something they had written, just the music for it. And she said, let me hear that. And so she put lyrics to that. And it's called This Ring, and we used it specifically in my friend's wedding during the ring ceremony.
Wow.
And it's a beautiful song. I happen to be singing on the track because I ended up, Crystal was supposed to sing it at the wedding. But then she booked a job because she's a show business too. Bless her heart. Oh, Lord, bless her heart. So she booked a job, and she was on tour with the show Legally Blonde.
Oh, okay.
So during the time that my friend was getting married, and so I was already in the wedding because I was one of the bridesmaids. So I ended up singing it at the wedding, and actually my voice is the voice you'll be hearing on this recording.
Okay, we're going to take a listen to This Ring,
mm-hmm.
and when we come back, we have a little surprise for you. Take a listen, folks.
Presence, I know that dreams come true. this rain.
Wedding out in California, and people were like, "Is that Puppets? Where can we get it? Oh my God! Oh my! Who wrote that?" They were like, "You know, that, your daughter wrote that." I mean, it really went over, and people have heard that song, and they're like, "That is a really good song for a wedding." You know what I mean?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And I got to tell you, folks, I've seen Adrienne do her one woman show, and it's absolutely phenomenal. Do you have any plans of trying to do that show again?
You know, people ask me, and I really don't do it that much, and I don't know when I'll be doing my own thing. I will be singing in May. I'm going to be up at Jazz at Lincoln Center. They're doing a show. Michael Feinstein is hosting a show called Ethel Waters Broadway Jazz and Blues, and so several of it's three singers going to be doing songs. Ethel Waters, you know, Ethel Waters was the jump off. I'm telling you, I started listening to all these Ethel Waters tunes, and she really was something else. Okay, wonderful material, and so we're doing that May 1st and 2nd up at Jazz at Lincoln Center. So that should be fun. But I don't know. When I'll do my own thing again, but that'll be a little mini representation.
I would love to see you do that show. Before I said I had a surprise for you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Say hello.
Hello, hello.
Who is this? That sounds like Zane.
It's me.
Had to get your husband on. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line is Zane Mark. He's a composer, arranger, musical director, conductor, musician. He does it all. And I want to have them on because there's Bill and Camille, there's Will and Jada, and there is there is Zane and Adrienne. Welcome to the show, brother.
All those people that you've heard of and then us. Yes.
Tom and Jerry and Frick and Frack.
The thing is, you know, what I admire most about you guys, you've followed your dreams. I've known you guys forever. And, you know, it's so interesting that Adrienne is doing a show with a divorce farm, and you guys have been married for so long. successful marriage. How long have you guys been married?
Go ahead, Zane.
30 years, coming up on 30 years in October. I'm November.
Wow, wow. And what's the recipe? What's the recipe that you guys have?
I go on the road a lot? I don't know.
Oh, no, that's not true. Why you say that? It's not true. I enjoy Zane. Zane is a nut.
Thank you.
And we enjoy each other's nuttiness.
Yeah, we like to laugh.
Not that we don't have, you know, issues, you know, disagreements from time to time, you know. I'm not going to make it sound like it's, oh, they're just having a party all the time. But for the most part, you know, there's nuttiness.
We like to laugh.
Keeping it real. Now, how is it two people, same industry, how does that work? Is that kind of what keeps you guys together? I mean, how does that work, two people in the same industry like that?
Well, we're in the same industry, but I'm not, from a television point of view, I'm not in front of the camera. I'm more behind the scenes kind of guy, and I'm comfortable back there. So I don't think there's any, like, competition, if that were the, you know, the right word. And I think being in the business, we kind of understand the ups and downs. And, you know, luckily, one of us is always working.
Nice.
So,
nice.
You know.
You know, one person may not be getting phone calls, you know, like we would normally get until we're down. And maybe the other person is working and vice versa. So that has been a blessing for us. I have to tell you, we have really been blessed. We have had favor from on high, let me tell you that, because this is a rough business.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Zane, what are you working on these days? I think you just finished up on a show. Talk to the audience a little bit about that.
Well, right now I'm doing the dance music arrangements for a show called Leap of Faith. It's on Broadway. And we open on the 26th, so we're kind of in pre-production still now and previews and trying to get all of that, you know, finalized so we can put the best show forward. And so we're doing that right now. So it's a little crazy, you know, it's a lot of last-minute stuff and work the last second. But we're, you know, working hard to try to put the best show up there for the public to come see at the St. James Theater. And I just finished doing the Berry Gordy story, Motown. And, you know, that's got to be the best music available. I got a new project starting in 2 weeks called Pac. It's all Tupac's music. Kenny Leon's directing it, and my good buddy Daryl Ward is going to be a musical supervisor. So, you know, like I said, the phone's ringing now. So,
When it rains, it pours.
Because my
right?
show's getting ready to close. April 29th.
There you go.
So, you know, people come on out and see us, you know. And if more people want to come, like, you know, past it, they may extend us. But, you know, we just have to wait and see, you know, how that goes. But right now, we are going until April 29th. And then I'll be like, you know, what's going on? What y'all doing? What's happening?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Now, have you guys ever worked together on Broadway or behind the scenes?
We have not. Right, Zane?
Never.
You kidding me? In
never
30 years?
Never done a show together.
No one believes us either.
Wow, I don't believe it. Wow.
Yeah.
The shows that I've been in, he's, you know, he's just has never been a part of any of those shows, and vice versa.
Wow. How did you guys meet?
I was, she was doing Amos Behaven, and a friend of mine was also in the cast, and I was working on his nightclub act. And so I would go by the theater to hang out with him to work on the music. And then I just started hanging out with the rest of the cast. The girls of the cast were very close. In fact, they all live together in the same house in Brooklyn. So they all hang out together, do the show together. That's really unheard of.
We just save money, you know. And even the rents back there were nothing like goes on now, you know. But even still, back there, you know, we wanted to save money. And because, you know, shows do close, and so you want to still have some money when the phone is not ringing. You know, that's what we try to tell the young kids now. Save your money. People don't run out here and just buy this and that and other. You have some kind of a plan. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so when the phone
yeah.
is not ringing, you have a savings account or you have a stock a broker account, something. You know what I mean? Don't spend all your money, people. Anyway, so that's why we stayed together. And we... You know, saved a lot of money doing that. Yeah.
Question for both of you. We'll start with Zane. How did you know that music was going to be your destiny?
I never really did anything else. My father was a musician, and he played on Broadway, played with the Ellington Orchestra. So music was always in the house, and it's just kind of what I always did. I didn't really know anything else. I never had any other type of job, you know, other than, you know, little gigs when I was, you know, high school, junior after school kind of jobs. But I've always been involved in music in one way or another, whether I was playing, writing, copying, you know, something, it was all music. And it's always been that. So I just never had any other choice, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But you're talented, too, and that makes it a lot of us want to sing and perform. But do you think the talent came down through your father? Does your mother have musical roots?
Not that I know of, not as far as my mother. My father, you know, I wish I could have half of his work ethic, you know, the practicing, and I'm not half as good as he was. I don't think I'll ever be that good, but I just never knew how to do anything else. I never did anything else.
Yeah. And thank God you're really good at it and really talented at it.
I don't know how good. I think the main trick is, you know, I can do a couple of different things. I don't just play the piano or just write music or just, you know how to work the computer. And, you know, I can do a whole bunch of things, and I'm not necessarily a master of any of them, but I think I'm good enough at a whole bunch of things that I can be an asset to somebody.
Yes, yes.
So...
And that's important. Adrian, how did you know music was going to be your destiny?
Well, like I told you, I started when I was in church, you know, when I was a kid, singing in choir and stuff, and singing in high school choir, singing in college choir. I was always singing. I had a God-given gift for singing, you know. I didn't do a whole lot of studying and stuff. As a matter of fact, I went to college for acting. I was a drama major. I wasn't a voice major. But I could always sing because, like I said, I was singing all the time. So I'm like, well, why would I study singing? I already know how to sing. I'll study drama, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's the situation,
As time went by, you know, throughout your careers, both of you, let's start with Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's been plenty of ups, plenty of downs. What have been some of the high points, and also share with the audience, you know, what some of the low points of, you know, have been, so that it kind of rounds you off and folks know that, you know, you're a real person, you know, that you're approachable.
Yeah, well, obviously, one high point would be, oh, she won a Tony Award. That would be pretty high. but I have worked with people that I thought I would never work with. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm in the room with Glenn Close and we're acting together.
Yes.
I did a film early last year in Spain, playing a scene opposite Robert De Niro. That's huge. You know what I mean? So I've had those moments, and then I've had many moments where I've had to those telemarketers that call you and bother you. I was one of those.
Okay.
I had to do that kind of thing. You know, I remember I was working for some company, and I was calling around to the institutional investors it was for to try to get them corporations to buy this particular magazine that helps people, you know, the corporation's shoes, stocks, and whatnot, blah, blah, blah. And so I was doing that. I was a telemarketer for trying to get people to get credit cards and stuff like that. And so... I've had to do those kinds of things. Not a lot, but I had to do it. And, of course, you know, thank God for unemployment.
Yes,
because once
absolutely.
The show closes April 29th, I'm getting on the computer and I'm putting in my claim.
That's the realness,
baby. Okay?
Absolutely.
That's the
absolutely.
Realness.
Yep, yep. And it's good for the listeners, particularly the young listeners, folks who want to get into the industry. It's just a good thing to be able to hear what the reality is, you know.
Yeah,
there's a price
like
to
I
pay
said,
for everything.
Save your money.
Yeah.
When you're making a nice little salary, save your money. You know, these kids go out here and they, you know, they're these one-hit wonders, and then they broke.
It's true.
You know what I mean? You know, you've heard the stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Zane, your high points, low points?
I think I'm most proud of the work I did on Noise Funk, Bring the Noise, Bring the Funk, and Harlem Song up at the Apollo. Not a lot of people saw it, but it was one of the few times in my career that I worked in a place where the people on stage and the people backstage, and just it was just one big giant family, and it was I've just never had that experience before, and it was very rare and just a nice, beautiful situation to be involved in. I really, you know, I'll never forget those two.
Yeah, yeah. Low points?
Well, I guess when that phone's just not ringing. I've never really had any bad experiences I can think of, you know, that I didn't get past. I was doing All My Children once, and I got fired for talking back to somebody.
Okay.
But, you know, but even that, you know, I, you know.
Those are the territory.
It wasn't that bad, though. I'd have to think a little harder about this, something really bad or a negative point.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So.
You know, we really have been blessed, man. We really, really have. And and even on unemployment, I mean, I still have money saved. I'm just getting unemployment so I don't have to go through my savings.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So I still can get a nice shoe from time
right.
to time and a nice piece of hair. You know what
right.
I mean?
Oh
boy. My gosh, I'm stupid on this radio.
No, it's great. And that's what I love about
listening.
You, Adrian. Yeah, no, you keep it real, and it's great for folks to, you know, to be able to hear that, because sometimes there's a certain aura of people on the stage, and they don't really get a chance to see, you know, the people, you know, as real people. We have about 8 minutes left. What I'd like to do, and I try to do it every show, we have two incredible people on. Give a little mentorship towards some of the younger listeners in terms of, we'll start with Adrian. What kinds of things can you recommend in terms of getting seen, getting an agent, getting in the business, the whole bit? What kind of advice can you offer to young folks? Or it could be old folks. Maybe people are making a career change and want to get in the business.
Well, here's an interesting thing, because I said I went to this other thing today, and a friend of both of ours teaches at this college in Tennessee, as a matter of fact, in Nashville, I believe. And so every spring, this time of year is when agents and casting directors are looking at showcases, and my friend brought her students up. They're like seniors, and they're ready to get out into the world and do this business. And so she asked us to come by and see the showcase. And so that's one way. You get in a night school and you study and everything, and you get a – I didn't get a chance to do this sort of thing, because the school that I went to in Tennessee didn't really do this sort of thing. But there are schools that have access to showcasing their students in front of casting directors and agents and whatnot. And if an agent, like today, if an agent saw somebody that they liked, they would take their name and they would call them and interview with them, because they're going to be here until Wednesday. So they have all day tomorrow to hopefully get some interviews with some people. So that's one thing, you know, go through a school program, that sort of thing. Be as versatile as you can. There was one guy we saw today at the showcase. I tell you, he did a little dancing, did a little tap dancing. He played the violin. He sang. I'm like, you are every man. You know, and a lot of times that is so great, because there are a lot of musicals, that, especially in the last few years, and this one particular director has been doing shows where he wants the actors to play musical instruments as well. So, you know, that's fantastic. So do all you can, kids. Get your little tap dance or your ballet or your whatever, your voice and acting. Do as much of that as you can. So if you're not acting in a show, then maybe you'll be singing in a show or something like that. So be as versatile as you can. And I keep, you know, going through this, because a lot of times when you're so concerned about how you're going to pay your rent and stuff like that, people, save your money. Have some kind of plan where you can have something, you know, so you won't be panicked when the show closes.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's a huge thing for me.
Because they all close at some point.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're in Phantom of the Opera, I don't think that'll ever close.
Right.
But
right.
To tell you the truth, there ain't many of us. I'm talking about me, my skin color. There ain't many of us in Phantom of the Opera.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, save your money.
And speaking of being African American, you know, how has that affected, you know, your career on Broadway? Because there's not a lot of shows on Broadway featuring African American, you know, singers and dancers and so on.
Same thing in television and film. Be versatile, as I said, because then you can be in shows that are not specifically African American shows. I've been in a lot of shows on Broadway that are not specifically Dreamgirls with African Americans or Ain't Misbehaving. I was in Kiss Me, Kate.
There was maybe
three of us in that show. You know what I mean? So definitely be versatile. But there are times when, you know, we are doing very well. We have quite a few blacks on Broadway. This is a nice season for us. Leap of Faith has a lot of people of color in there. Of course, you know, we have a Streetcar Named Desire. Is out the black cast of Streetcar Named Desire, you know. So there are times, you know, when we're doing very well on Broadway, and then there are some times when we're not. So if you're versatile enough, if you can dance and you can do all different kind of, even different kinds of dancing, not just one particular kind of dance, you can find yourself dancing in any show, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel you've had to reinvent yourself over the years to keep busy, to be able to get the work that's out there?
Actually, I haven't really done much reinventing, I must say. The Tony Award was very advantageous to me because people used to see me when I was doing most of the musical theater. Well, she's a singer. And then I won the Tony Award for an acting part. Then I was able to get more television auditions, first of all. Could even, you know, before the Tony Award, I wasn't even getting as many auditions for movies and television shows that I get now. You know what I mean? So, because that was and that's an interesting thing, because if you win a Tony Award, and I don't know if this is for everybody, but I've experienced that, like another friend of mine won a Tony Award for a musical. And she doesn't get as many auditions for straight things as I do because I won for a straight play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So they put stigmas on you. A lot of times, you know, you get kind of pigeonholed and stuff like that. But you have to try to get yourself out of that, you know, try as much as you can. Like I said, be versatile, love. So when people can say, oh, my gosh, she can act. Oh, she can sing, too. A lot of people that don't know I can sing, that only know me from Doubt, are like stunned that I can sing. Oh, she can
sing.
Isn't
that amazing? It's amazing.
And that's
what
I did my whole career.
Right, right, right. Zane, what kind of advice can you give to the musicians and singers and folks who want to get into the business?
I think kind of what Idris is, being as versatile as you can be in as many, as far as the music is concerned, as many different genres of the music that you know. So right now I do a lot of dance music arranging. So as far as Broadway is concerned, people would think, well, he only knows Bring the Noise, Bring the Funk. It's always got to be some hip-hop kind of thing. And there was only like one quote-unquote hip-hop number in Bring the Noise, Bring the Funk. And there was a lot of big band stuff. There was some African stuff. I know all of that stuff. I mean, growing up with my father and like the show Bubbling Brown Sugar, you know, I'm 17 years old and I get to play with a big band. You know, how many kids get
incredible
to do that? You know, and so, but having that in my life, so now I understand that music kind of like in my sleep, you know,
yeah.
And so where somebody else might not have had that experience and might have to go through it a different way. So the more that you know, the more that you can pull from, the more versatile you'll be and the more likely you'll be able to do something and something. Because right now everyone's trying to get more bang for their buck. So if I can hire one person that can do three or four different jobs, the better for me.
Right, right.
And even if you don't do those three or four jobs, you'll be a little more considerate about the person that has to do the work. So now I know, like the show I'm working on now, I'm going to do some arrangements. I have to give my arrangements over to an orchestrator, and then he has to do what he has to do. Well, I know, having been an orchestrator, what's going to make his life easier. So I'll do a certain thing a certain way, and
right,
his life is easier. Now someone else is just going to write some stuff, you know, by hand, give him a score. It's going to be different, because they don't know what that orchestrator has to do. So I already kind of know that, so I'm going to make their life a little easier, even though I'm not doing the job, but knowing what the job is makes life easier for everybody else. So know your craft. Know if you're going to be going somewhere as a piano player, then you should know how to play the piano. You know what I'm saying? You're going to. I've been in auditions where people come to audition, they don't bring no music.
Oh, that's crazy. Right?
You know, so, do you know how to play so-and-so? Like, really? And so just, you know, try be as prepared as you can be. And if that means, you know, knowing your instrument, knowing your orchestrator and arranger, whatever it is that you're going to do, you should kind of know how to do it. It sounds kind of simple and kind of silly, but, you know what you're supposed to be doing and know your craft and be as versatile and as, you know, across the board as you possibly can be.
Well, folks, it seems like versatility is the key. As we wrap up here, Adrian, in a perfect world, what would you like to be doing in the next 2 or 3 years?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I would love to get a TV series. That'd be lovely to do. I've done, like, guest spots. I've done had some recurring roles, but I haven't had, like, something like the girl in my show. Like I said, she was Gilmore Girls, Alexis Bledel. She, you know, she had a 7-year run on there, you know. And that sort of thing also gives you this extra cachet, because nowadays with producers and whatnot, they want somebody who has some kind of recognizable name. I still don't have a recognizable name, except for like around the Broadway circles or something like that. But as far as TVs and movie stuff, you know, you call my name, who is she? You know, if you qualify me and say, well, you know, she was that woman in The Blind Side, you know, the woman that played the boy's biological mother, then, you know, but just saying my name, nobody would know I was that person that played that boy's mother in The Blind Side movie, you know.
Right, right.
So, there you go.
Zane, next 3 years? Perfect world?
You know, to be honest, Neil, I just want to be healthy and strong.
Yeah, no, but that's true.
And, you know, and so, I mean, as far as my career is concerned, I think I have a lovely studio in my house, and I'd like to do some more work out of the studio itself. So, I mean, I'm doing some small films stuff now, and it's very exciting, and, you know, and I like it. So I'd like to probably do some more of that stuff, but to be quite honest, if I got my house, I think I'm good, man. I really
know that's right.
Really,
that's right.
You know, you can have all that stuff and you sick.
That's right.
You can't enjoy it.
That's,
you know,
true.
We're getting of an age. We see a couple of our friends, you know, just not doing well or just not with us anymore. And so, you know, you start going, you know, something, this is not really that important. That's important. That's important. This is not important. That's not important. And you start, things get a little more black and white. And, you know, I don't want to turn into that old, cranky old man, but I'm like, hey, I'm healthy. I think I'm good, man. My mother's 80-something years now.
Wow,
and, you know,
congratulations.
Just,
yeah.
You know, going forward, and I want to be like that. I want to be like that.
Yeah.
I want to be healthy when I grow up. That's what I want to be. Ain't nothing wrong with me now, and I want to keep it that way.
That's right, and that's a great thing to ask. Adrian, as we wrap up, just let the audience know a little bit more about Regrets before where they can get tickets. Just tell them where they can reach you if they want to reach out to you.
Thank you so much. Regrets, we're running through April 29th. We're at City Center on West 57th Street between 6th and 7th, and you can go to newyorkcitycenter.org and use code 9107 or call CityTix at 212-581-1212 and use code PBO2. P as in Paul, B as in boy, O as in Oprah, 2.
And Zane?
Come down to the St. James Theater and see
Leap
of Faith with Raul Spadazar.
Sounds
alrighty.
Good. Sounds good. Adrian, I appreciate you for stopping by. You didn't have to be here on your day off. Love it.
Thank you
so much.
Come and see us, Neil. I'll see you after the show.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We're going to probably try to stop by this week.
Okay.
And Zane, thank you for stopping by and surprising your lovely wife there. Really appreciate it.
You got it.
Trying to keep it moving. You've been listening to Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow Soul. As always, peace, love, and take it easy.
Bye-bye.
name is Susan L. Taylor, Editor-in-Chief Emeritus of Essence Magazine. My sadness and depression grew out of giving myself to my career before I would give myself to myself. And then I am out there speaking in front of thousands of people with a smile pasted on my face but dying on the inside. Hiding sadness makes you more and more sad because it closes you off. Giving voice to what you're feeling is part of the healing. We're dying, and the most revolutionary and healing thing that Black people can do right now is to love one another.
This is Terry Williams, co-founder of the Stay Strong Foundation. Mental illness is devastating our community, and it's up to us to stop it. It's time for us to wake up, stand up, and speak up. And what I know is, together, we can do this. Search online for stories that heal. We must share ourselves. Healing starts with us. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and the Stay Strong Foundation.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.